if me tell someone me idea, mm-hmm. how does I know they ain't going to nick it?
That's tough. People usually do.
Because like when the PlayStation 1 came out, mm-hmm. me was telling me Julie, mm-hmm. what would be wicked would be if they brought out something that was better than this.
Right.
And then 2 years later, what come out?
Right.
PlayStation 2.
Right.
How does you think they got the idea mm-hmm. from me?
Maka,
howdy.
What's going on?
Just hanging around here.
You multitasking?
No, not really.
I hear quite a bit of typing on your end.
You do? I'm not typing.
Oh, what the hell am I hearing? It's like
I don't know.
It's like a click. I don't know. Okay, so, today we're going to have so much stuff on the show that I'm not even going to stick the theme song in.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to have to jump right into it, because I think we might even have to split this thing into two shows if it goes on too long.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, I think that's even better. So people who like shorter podcasts get their thing, they have two short ones, and people who like longer will get one big one if they combine them.
Yeah.
Anyways, what have you been up to this week?
Playing World of Warcraft.
Ah, yes. That just came out in Europe, what, last week? Like
Friday. Last Friday.
Oh, boy.
Not last month.
Like last week's Friday, so like a week and a day.
Mm.
What level are you at now?
Level 15.
15. That's not bad for a week of play.
No, I've had like 10 characters.
Really?
I can't decide on which to play.
I remember when I played it, I tried to maintain 3 characters, but I decided against that after just a couple days, because my gnome character was like the best of them, and I was like, oh, he's the cutest too, so might as well make him kick ass. And it was like only a beta week, so I was like, I shouldn't spread my players too thin.
Yeah.
But anyways, I had a chance to check out Guild Wars this week. Actually, today was the first time I had my hands on it. They have an open beta going on this weekend from Friday till Sunday night. But I'll talk about that a little bit later in the show.
Okay.
I think I should tell everyone this. I cut my own hair the other night. Because I think this is a funny story. I was up at like 2:30 in the morning, and I've been playing all these video games, and I had this really shaggy hair going on, and for some reason I just got up. I had a beard trimmer sitting around. I don't have like a normal hair trimmer, because I have like this really short beard, and I just like buzzed most of my hair off. So now I look ridiculous.
I guess we all do once in our life.
Yeah. Well, it's the first time I've ever like tried anything as dumb as this, and hey, it was fun, so it's worth it at least.
And if you, even though you look silly, who cares?
Yeah. A little bit of news for the podcast listeners out there. Do you use the podcast software?
No.
You should get into it. I'm addicted to it. That's the entire reason why I started up this show, is because of the entire podcast revolution that's occurred over the past, like, 4 months here.
Are you on TV?
Oh, yeah, I even got on TV for it. But we have a new URL you need to type into your podcast feed, whatever the heck software. By the way, I use Nimic. That's probably my favorite of the software that they offer for podcasting. You can type in http://feeds.feedburner.com/gamersradio, and you guys have to do this because it will help me keep track of how many listeners we have out there, because I currently have no idea. And it looks like I made an announcement of this earlier in the week, and I could tell, like, now how many people are downloading files, and it really helps me out, so I know, like, how much bandwidth I'll need per month, so that when I upgrade my server, I think in 2 months from now, I'll be able to make a good guesstimation. I hate people who use that word, but somehow slipped out there.
How many people have downloaded this week?
The last episode, which is, like, not even a full episode, 39 people... it's like 31 people a day is the average, I think.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's okay. I could be doing better, though. I think that's just because those are the people I actually paid attention and switched over to the new URL. So, I'm sure there are lots of people out there who haven't done that yet. I just updated with some of the sites like iPodder.org, told them that I have a new one. So, if you can even get the thing from their site. But if you want to just get the link, you can copy it from the last podcast. There's the URLs in the title field. You can also get it at yankadank.com. There's a little podcast button on the right top side underneath the little MP3 for the shows. Just right-click and say, like, open the link and copy the link URL. We're also starting to do voicemail on our show, so if you guys have a little, like, idea for a show or just want to leave a comment or something, you can call this on a normal phone. The number is 323-693-9276, and you can leave a 3-minute message on this voicemail system, and we'll get it. It'll be emailed to us, and we'll stick it in our show.
That's awesome.
Yeah, unfortunately, you can't do it because you're out of country, so unless you want a really expensive phone bill, you and your friends are screwed.
Well, 3 minutes isn't that bad.
Yeah. You could probably even... Can you get calling cards for long distance like that?
Yeah, I think you do.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that bad if you had a calling card with spare minutes. Yeah, so I hope people start doing that, because I'd love to answer people's questions, and it's even cooler when it's audio. I've had quite a few emails, and some people have started doing forum posts. I'm going to bring this up. Someone contacted me because I was begging someone out there to say, hey, give me your videos. I'll be glad to give you full credit to it, and we're going to make, like, a big-ass film of Halo vids. So we're going to have all these Halo videos from Halo 1 and Halo 2, and they're going to be, like, different mods and different tricks, and we're going to combine them all into this giant movie, and I'm going to host a BitTorrent file on our site that you guys will be able to download once we have this all put together. So someone out there is Achilles. He wrote us, and he said he's going to submit. If you guys want to submit too, just leave me a forum message, and I'll give you some information how to upload to our servers, and we'll get contacted with you. So thanks a lot, Achilles.
I just love the subject of BitTorrent. We have no one seeding our files, all the episodes.
Oh, that's like my own fault there. I'll actually give it, do you feel like seeding for us? Because every once in a while I have my thing going, but I don't run it 24 hours a day like I should.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, I'll do it in two, and we'll hopefully, between us, we'll be able to do it well. My school also likes to block off some of that traffic, so it's probably a lot slower to do the BitTorrent versions, but I appreciate those who go to the lengths to save us the bandwidth. Thanks for bringing that up, by the way, because I wasn't even, like, sure if anyone was downloading from or trying to. What else is next on our notes? We had last weekend sometime, you could do NextBC, which is the Xbox Kinect, XB Kinect client, where you can take your video games, and if they have the system link capability, you could play them online with other people for free. So if you don't like Xbox Live, like me, I don't like Xbox Live because the entire mod chip thing, it'll like cancel your account if they figure out you have a mod chip, and they're starting to get a little anal about that. So I use NextBC. You can get it at xbconnect.com. And my username is Yankadank4, so if you ever see me online, I'm usually playing Halo 2 late at night. I'd be glad to play a game with you guys. just don't play with swords with me because I cheat like hell.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's what I was demonstrating last weekend, was this nifty little sword trick, which you can get a video of at our site, of me, what I would do is I'd open up the Blood Gulch level, and I'd have someone stand on the opposite side of the level, and it looks like maybe 500 yards, and I just go flying to the other side, and then when I get to the other side, I'll kill him with the sword. It's really amazing to watch what you can do with this little trick, and I'm hoping that I can show how to do this trick, but the Halo Mods files forum just went down today. Actually, I think it went down last night. I can't remember seeing it last night either, because I was going to make a video for you guys. So they wrote a little note, and they said we'll have it up in the next couple hours, hopefully. So by the time the show gets out, hopefully their site will be back up. If not, once they are back up, I'll get you guys a video, and I'll show you how to do this nifty little sword trick, which the video is already online. In response to some of the emails I've been getting, no, I do not have Xbox Live. Sorry, guys. Can't do it. Next up, we're going to go to the... I was cruising the G4 website, G4 Tech TV. They're soon going to be known as just G4, because they sort of gave up on nerds, and they just want little teenage boys now that are like 12 years old. Do you ever see G4 Tech TV? I think we brought this up last episode.
No.
No? It's crap. It used to be something awesome when it was just Tech TV, and then they combined Tech TV, which was like nerd television, with G4 TV. And G4 is basically just video games. And you think that'd be awesome. You're like, oh, that's a great idea, especially for someone who hosts a radio show about games like us.
Mm.
But the show is just... it's not like it should be. You can only take so much video games. You can only take these announcer people for so long. They have, like, competitive tournaments, and they have professional announcer guys, and they do, like, all this, oh, yeah, look at him do it! And he goes really out, and I'm like, oh, you're just being annoying. I'd rather just watch people play Counter-Strike and kill each other than having this guy announce it like it's a football game.
And they have the man drop.
What was that?
They have the man drop.
Yeah, and the man jaw, Morgan. Yeah, I was looking up because you and I were teasing Zila, or however you pronounce his name. He's one of the members of our site. And he, by the way, he's the guy who gave me a beta pass for Guild Wars, so thanks to you. Thank you very much. He's going to Florida right now, by the way. But he says Morgan Freeman. Is that her name? No, Morgan Freeman's the black actor. Morgan Webb, that's her name, the girl from X-Play on Tech TV, or G4 Tech TV, is hot, and then we're like, no, she isn't, she's got the man jaw, and then I was like, eh, she sort of is. We should start a poll on the site, whether she's hot or not.
Yeah.
She was in a Maxim magazine, I showed you some of those photos, and she actually looks decent in those.
Yeah, she does.
In a couple of them, at least. In a few of the photos, she looks decent, in other ones, it's not so appealing. She probably is one of the cuter girls of gaming. They also have this one girl on, I think it's called, like, G4TV.com. That's, like, the name of the show they host. It's, like, maybe a half-hour show. I've only watched it, like, five times. But it's two girls host it. The one girl's, like, pretty good-looking. There's a guy, and I think they recently switched the guy host. And there's a girl who's, like, the ultimate lesbian, I guess. She has, like, this short blonde hair, and she's all these nose rings, and she's just too manly for my taste.
I can picture it for me now.
Oh, yeah. She's a weird girl, and she's, like, really hyperactive, too, and she's always, like, yelling. She sort of scares me. I wouldn't want to take her on in real life. But anyways, getting back to the point... G4 posts videos on their site, and they're actually pretty good videos, so I'm not going to cut down on G4 that much about this, but they have this clip of World Warcraft versus EverQuest 2, and they sort of talk about, this is from the show Judgment Day, and we're going to play a clip from it here, and it's them talking about whether World of Warcraft is a better game or EverQuest 2, and they do like a little quick comparison. I think it runs about 3 minutes here, So we're going to play that now, and we'll be back in a sec.
Hey, welcome to Versus. Today we have two massively multiplayer online role-playing games.
Also known as Mamorgoobs.
Exactly. This is EverQuest 2 from Sony Online Entertainment against World of Warcraft from Blizzard, both for the PC, obviously.
Right.
And let's talk graphics, first of all. World of Warcraft, I really liked it because it sort of presents what they did with the 3D stuff in Warcraft 3, but it gives you a real sense of dropping down and running around in the ground level. But EverQuest 2, I think, is a graphics powerhouse that's, you know, really been shaped by the technology around it. There's some amazing reflection, some amazing distortion in the water effects.
The problem is, though, is to get those high graphics, I mean, you need a really, really fast machine.
Absolutely.
But overall, the worlds and the environments in World of Warcraft, they're just so massive and amazing. It reminded me, like,
come on, but the visuals are beautiful in EverQuest 2. I mean, you've got nice, you know...
I'm not going to deny that, but we call this Versus for a reason.
Yeah.
I got to go with Warcraft.
I think if you have the graphics card and you have the computer horsepower, the visuals in EverQuest 2 are cooler. Let's talk about the audio then for these two games.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I really love the fact that in EverQuest 2, you can pretty much walk up to all of the characters and you'll get dialogue out of them. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Thanks for all your help. Make sure to clean up when you're done in the cellar.
And we also have some voice acting talent from the likes of Christopher Lee.
Heather Graham.
Saruman.
That's right.
Sauron.
Scaramunga.
Huh?
He was Scaramunga.
He was Scaramunga?
Yeah, and the man with the golden gun.
Holy crap! I never knew that!
There you go.
Holy crap!
Good night, everybody.
Both games have really great orchestral scores.
Yes.
I'm going to give the slight nod to EverQuest 2 because we appreciate all of the amazing voice acting.
I agree. EverQuest 2's got the better audio. But here's where it really counts, gameplay.
That's right.
How do these two stack up?
There is a huge community out there of EverQuest freaks. And the thing is that...
So eloquent.
Those people will, you know, love this game and stuff. But to me... You know, it almost started to get a little stale when compared to World of Warcraft, because things like the combat system, you know, were a lot more intuitive.
Feels more engaging.
It feels more like a game like Fable, where you felt like you had a little more control over it.
One thing I will say about both of these games is that they're both fairly easy to jump into.
I think the biggest difference in the two games gameplay-wise is that in World of Warcraft, you can fight player versus player.
That's true.
If you choose to do so. Whereas in EverQuest, you can't fight other players, but it's more of creating your little guild, creating your little team and going on, which again is cool as well. But I don't know, I just kind of like the fact that in World of Warcraft, you can go up to anyone, some stranger, and just start knocking the crap out of them.
I love it. I mean, you can challenge people to duels that won't kill your character.
Right.
You know, you can just earn experience points. But I have to say, even though technically I think EverQuest 2 is slightly more impressive, World of Warcraft gives you
it's much more fun.
It's fun and I think it's even more immersive than EverQuest 2.
Oh, totally.
And it's a little more, you know, cartoony looking, but man, it's a great game. I'm really impressed with World of Warcraft. I'm going to give it a 9.5 out of 10.
I'm giving it an 8.5.
And what are you going to give EverQuest 2?
EverQuest 2, I'm giving a 7.5.
I'm going to give EverQuest 2 8.5. So there you have it, two massively multiplayer online role-playing games, two good ones.
Long title.
Stupid title.
Yeah.
We like World of Warcraft better.
Okay, did you get to watch this little trailer for Strangerhood or maybe an episode?
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
It looks cool.
Yeah, I think it's a lot like, it's set up like an MTV show. For some reason, it reminds me of it. I think it's the music. They have really nice transition music, and it's all like... written by the people who do this show.
Yeah.
And it's based on The Sims 2, for those of you who haven't gotten to see this. Red versus Blue sort of teamed up with these people. RedVersusBlue.com or Strangerhood.com. They sort of had to share the same website. You just click on a different tab. And they're both based on something called Machinima. And I've been slowly getting into this idea of Machinima, and I've been playing around with this Halo video, and I can't really become happy enough with it, or I really can't write a story that I think is good enough right now. I want to do a comedy, but I'm not sure what to do with it, so I'm just going to wait until I get my microphones next week. By the way, did I even talk about the microphones earlier?
No.
Okay, well, everyone out there, we just made a big $300 investment in some microphones and mixing equipment, which is like a really like amateur style microphones, but it'll be better sound quality than what we're having right now, and I won't be popping my peas as much as I do. Do you know what that is, Mocker?
No.
That's when you like say a... Oh, I don't want to do an example because people would be pissed, but when you say like a pee, it usually makes this popping noise on your mic if you use a really crappy one.
Yeah.
And I'm using like the free one that came with my girlfriend's 1995 computer.
That sounds good.
Yeah. What type of microphone do you use with this? It's a headset, right?
No, I don't use the headset one. I use another one that's pretty crappy too.
Mine's like a little Bob Barker one. I have to hold it 20 feet from my face.
Mine picks up too much.
Yeah, I can hear a lot of computer noise. Do you hear that much noise on my side?
Not really.
We talked about this last time, but yeah, I have a really noisy room. Mostly because of like my fridge and my dehumidifier, because I live in Savannah, which is like one of the most humid places I've ever been. But anyways, we invested all this money into these microphones, and they should be getting here on Wednesday. And hopefully we'll have things figured out, and we're trying to start producing some more quality shows. Something that you guys might think is a little bit more professional. So hopefully by next week we'll have a little bit of a better grasp on this entire thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so back to the idea of Machinima. There was a cool little review I also found from the G4 TV thing. I was looking a lot on their site today. They had a few funny videos. I'll even post a link to their video section that you can watch. A bit of a warning, though, that you'll want a high-speed connection. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck there for days, because these are some really high-quality videos. I'm quite impressed with it. Their loading screen, even for it, is pretty nice. But the next clip I'm going to play for you guys is a clip that the Screensavers did. It's them talking to the people, two of the creators of Red vs. Blue. It's the girl who does Tex, and I forget who the other guy was. But we'll listen to it now, and we'll be back with you after that. So here goes.
All right, one of the newest forms of animation out there is called Machinima. It's making films within a real-time 3D environment, like a game engine used by a first-person shooter. Now, Halo just happens to be a perfect example, and our next guests have been using it to create an extremely popular series called Red vs. Blue. Please welcome Bernie Burns and Kathleen Zelch.
Hey. How you doing?
Thank you guys for joining us on the show.
Thank you. Pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Everybody should know, if they don't, they're a pathetic excuse for a human being.
I agree.
What is Red vs. Blue?
Red vs. Blue is a weekly cartoon that we make, and we write, do the acting ourselves, and then we do the animation by using the Halo game engine. We use Halo 1 from the Xbox, Halo PC, and now we're using Halo 2 as well. And in the upcoming episode, we're going to go way back and use an old Bungie game called Marathon.
Oh, nice.
That's what we use all the visuals for. We just, it's like normal animation, but instead of, you know, sitting down and drawing everything by hand, we just use controllers.
Now, I mean, well, yeah, you save time on certain things. You don't have to draw each cell, but are there drawbacks to doing Machinima? Is it all benefits? Is it all easier? I mean,
yeah, but there are drawbacks. Like, it's a very limited world. I mean, especially when you talk about a console game, the PC games, you can get in there.
Right, you can bring in your own models, your own artwork. And
make your own sets, make your own level, things like that. And you get really advanced and do your own animations and things like that. But really what you end up doing is you end up writing around what's in that world, that limited world, you know? Which is kind of fun, too. Like, sometimes we sit around and we think, what can we possibly do with stuff that's in the game? And we use the skull that's in Halo for Oddball. In the first one, we had a very funny scene with Tex where she beat a guy to death with his own skull.
Right. Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's a fun writing challenge, too.
That's cool. Cool. Now, so Kathleen, how did you actually get involved with this project?
I work in the animation industry, and I was working with Matt Hullum, who plays Sarge. Mm-hmm. And he showed me the first couple episodes, and I thought it was great. But I said, you guys need a really tough girl in this show.
Sure.
So he bounced the idea off of Bernie. And
we need to tough anything. We need some guys in the show.
Right.
So
you had a bunch of guys whining about why they're there.
Exactly. Right. They needed a balancing person. So Tex was born, and I've been Tex ever since, and I love the character.
You know, she was the most popular character before she ever came out. She came out in episode 10, and we introduced her in the credits. And because she was invisible, she was the cloaking character.
Right.
People kind of latched onto that and thought they saw her in every single episode, and they'd spend a lot of time looking for her, even though she wasn't in the
episode. Some sort of Easter egg in the Machinima piece
right.
itself.
It would be some weird form of compression, and they'd think that was a cloaked character in the background.
Oh, so you became an artifact. That's great.
Right. Right.
Congratulations.
Right. And there was chat rooms about it and everything. So
look at the pixel on
exactly.
line 3. And yeah,
that's
great.
Where they'd circle it and cel shade it and everything.
Well, the Red vs. Blue, when I first saw it, I said, this is great. And it turned out to be phenomenal for you guys. Now you've got the Strangerhood going on with EA.
Yeah.
So tell me about that partnership. How'd that work out?
Well, they were fans of Red vs. Blue. We talk to them first at E3. Basically, whenever we play a new video game, and we're all gamers, the first thing we do is sit down and try to figure out if we can use it for Machinima or not.
Right.
It's the most boring thing to watch us do. We actually got up to go play Halo 2 2 weeks before it launched, and it was a big clampdown on it where nobody could get their hands on an advanced copy or anything like that. And we got a chance to play it, and what do? We sit in this room, and we're just seeing how close we can stand to each other and how fast we can turn.
How does the head move when I look up and down? Not like, hey, should I hop in a Warthog and go kill some enemies? And,
yeah, the poor Bungie guys, they came by, and they were like looking in the window of the office. And they saw what we were doing. They shook their heads. You know, they spent three years making this game, and here we are, just like, you know, seeing who can look the farthest point in the distance. And
so that
like
really
that.
Does it really does change the way you look and play video games, right?
Yeah.
Being a Machinima producer.
I don't play that many video games anymore. Really. I mean, I have them and I use them and things like that. But the time that I spend playing video games is usually spent playing Halo Online and things like that.
Well, how do you feel about like Half-Life 2? You know, here comes this new great game. It's got built-in lip syncing. The engine looks amazing. Is that something you might be pursuing? An avenue of the future?
Well, yeah, that's got some cool stuff that you guys use in professional animation, which is, you know, with that real-time lip sync and things like that, you can set someone's eyes to track another character and things like that. It's really cool stuff, and it's stuff that, like, professional Hollywood animators have had for a very long time, and now it's coming down to a level where it's, like, prosumer, and, you know, you can just download it as part of a dev kit or something like that, so it's really cool.
You can get more information on the Red vs. Blue craze and see it all from their website. Of course, it's redversusblue.com.
Do you know who Leo Laporte is?
No.
You've never heard of him?
No.
That's pretty amazing. I thought this man was known as the god all over.
No.
Okay, who Leo Laporte is, he used to be on the screensavers on Tech TV, back when it was Tech TV and they actually did decent programming.
Okay.
And he was like, he hosted two shows at one point in time, Call for Help and Tech TV, and he's somewhat older. And I think he's like the tech god, and I worship the man. He puts out a radio show every Saturday and Sunday in San Diego, I believe. No, maybe San Francisco.
That was that clip at the end.
Yeah, yeah. He does this radio show on a local news station, and it's like tech help, and people just call in and they like say what their problems are with computers or PDAs. He'll cover pretty much everything. The man knows more about technology than anyone else I've ever even heard of. He also does lots of conferences. He does Macworld conferences. He hosts a couple different... have you heard of the Geek Cruises before?
No.
Oh, check that out sometime. GeekCruises.com. It's like cruise ships, only they have these conferences going on the cruise ship, and they're all themed. Like, for 1 week, they have Photoshop, so you go on the cruise and you learn all this stuff about Photoshop from these professionals in Photoshop. And in this other one, it's like the Macworld one, and Leo Laporte's on that one, and they have Steve Wozniak, who's one of the creators of the original Macintosh.
Okay.
And they have all these big names on them. That's probably, like, the coolest thing I would ever conceive of doing for, like, a vacation. I really want to do one. They even have one going to Europe. But anyways, Leo Laporte has this radio show, and people call in, and I caught on his podcast, what he does is he takes his radio show and he turns it into a podcast the week after the show's been out. And he had a girl call in, and she had a question about broken Xboxes, because the guy's DVD tray on this Xbox quit reading disc, which is a really common error, a ridiculously common error. Even I've heard about a lawsuit of someone suing Microsoft because right after the one-year warranty, it seems that all these DVD trays are breaking. And that's sort of a cause of the trays getting dirty, or even the lasers get a little weaker, I heard, after so much use. That's why they say you shouldn't play DVDs in them very often, which is a really good reason to get a modded Xbox, is because you don't have to always be having a disc sitting in the tray to read it. Instead, you could like just sit in there and copy your games to a hard drive, so the hard drive has to do the work rather than the laser from the disc tray.
Yeah.
But this woman calls in and she asks, like, how do I fix this problem? It's $150 to get an Xbox, but people are charging $100 to fix it. And she's like, it's pretty stupid to just, like, toss away $100 for something you could probably fix on your own. So Leo sort of gives her a little tip here, and this is a pretty long segment, but I think because Leo is the man, it's well worth listening to. So I'm going to play a clip from Leo Laporte's show on KFI. You can check out his other shows and the shows in their entirety at leoville.tv. So here goes.
Brenda in Los Angeles, welcome to the show. Leo Laporte, the tech guy on KFI.
Hi. Hi, I have a question about an Xbox. It's actually my boyfriend's Xbox.
Okay.
He got it. It was the first shipment. And after about maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes of playing it, it'll start acting like it's trying to reread the disc, like it's doing it for the first time.
Right.
Then it'll give an error, like the disc is dirty or the disc is not playable. And then you have to, like, reboot it again.
The Xbox, like any other computer device, you know, the DVD reader in it can get dirty or misaligned or worn out. So, and it's not an expensive thing to replace, by the way. It's a fairly inexpensive part. The first thing you should probably do, I wouldn't recommend doing this yourself. You could try. It's out of warranty by now. It's not going to hurt anything. It's fairly easy to take the Xbox apart. Maybe make sure that the laser in the DVD player is clean. However, if it got knocked around a little bit, it could be out of alignment. That would mean it would have a hard time reading discs. And it may just be worn out. You said it's a first-generation Xbox. He's had it for a few years. Maybe it's time.
Yeah.
It might be time to replace it. Like the same thing happens with computers. Any, you know, a DVD reader, they're fairly delicate and they can and they wear out. Most likely, it's just dust in there, and a cleaning, taking it to an Xbox authorized repair center, and cleaning it will be sufficient.
All right, because Microsoft was, send it back and we'll repair it for like $100.
Yeah,
and
right.
It only cost like $150.
Not worth it. You could buy a brand new one. Yeah,
yeah,
I would check in town. Most places now, you know, a lot of the guys who used to fix VHS recorders are now fixing game cubes and things because, that's where the business has gone. And it's not too difficult. Anybody, you could even do it yourself. If you look online, in fact, I'll put a link up. To some do-it-yourself sites for Xbox. They show you how you can replace the Xbox DVD with a new DVD player.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much.
Okay, Brenda, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
And you're a nice girlfriend. Most girlfriends would say, yes, the Xbox is broken. Sorry, dear, it doesn't work anymore. I've gotten re-hooked into the Xbox. We got rid of the television in the house. Mostly for the kids, but also for me. I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time watching TV. And I didn't want the kids to do that. And at the same time, I took that opportunity to get rid of all the game machines, the Xbox and the PlayStation 2. And my 10-year-old Henry, it was quite touching. He came to me and said, Dad, it's okay not to have a TV, but I don't have anything to talk about with my friends. They're all talking about their Xbox games and what level they're on, and I can't communicate with him anymore, and I felt for him. So I had brought the Xbox up to Canada where we do the TV show Call for Help, and we had it on the set there for people when they called in with Xbox questions. And I said, all right, son, I'm bringing the Xbox back. We did. I brought it back. And, yeah, he's playing it. And, yeah, I'm playing it. And I just bought a new game. I've always loved these Oddworld games, Abe's Odyssey and so forth. They were on the PC, and now they're on the Xbox, and they're quirky, weird games. Well, they have a new one called, was it The Stranger? Stranger's Wrath. That is so addictive and so weird and such a sense of change and also beautiful. Just gorgeous. I'm going to have to get a bigger TV. We're playing on a 13-inch one, a little 13-inch TV. Got to get really close to see what's going on. This is such a beautiful game. I'm thinking this might be a good reason to get a big screen TV because this game is amazing looking. Very addictive. So, Brenda, maybe as a Valentine's gift for your boyfriend, it's called Oddworld Stranger's Wrath. And I think it's very hot out right now. It's a very popular game, I think.
So Xbox recently sent me an email concerning these, this new power cord issue. Supposedly, if you leave your, if you have like consoles from the first generation area, and you leave your Xbox turned on for too long, there's a chance that the wire might catch on fire or melt, right where it like connects to the Xbox. So they're saying that fewer than 1 in 10,000 has caused burning inside the console and melting of the power cord. I think this is pretty funny. I heard someone talking about this a few days ago, but I just got the email like a few hours ago from Microsoft. So if you have an older power cord and you want to have them replace it, you can go to their website, xbox.com, look for the little field, it'll say like power cord replacement or something, and you'll have to tell them like the manufacturing serial number and the date that it was made, and they'll ship you a new one, which is pretty nice. But considering that 1 in 10,000 is going to be exploding, I don't think that's a very good thing.
Yeah,
I hope that doesn't happen to mine.
That actually brings up a little story I have. When my friends had just gotten a new Xbox, and then in about 2 weeks I was sitting there playing with them, and suddenly starts coming smoke out from behind, and shuts off. And turns out the entire back part has melted.
So you actually have experience with this?
Yeah, but it was like 2 weeks old.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter though. I think it's just these cords. Did he contact Microsoft about it?
No.
He didn't. He just like wasted the money and didn't do anything?
Yeah.
That's stupid.
He isn't very bright.
Yeah, I would be bitching up left and right. The thing we just listened to about the entire disc trays not working, that happened to me, and when I first purchased my Xbox, I think I got it for like some huge amount of money, like $250 I spent on it originally. And I just got really pissed off, and I didn't want to go through the trouble of purchasing a new disc tray and replacing it, so I just got a brand new Xbox instead. And so now I have like two Xboxes, so I figure if anything goes bad to one of them, I'll just swap it out with the other one.
Yeah, sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, when you first open up an Xbox to mod it, you look at the little power segment, and it has all this, like, it looks like white melted stuff all over it. I never really understood what exactly it was. I'm sure it serves a purpose and it's supposed to look like that, but my one Xbox looked a lot more sloppy than the other one. It's really weird to look at. Moving on, there's a PBS Flash Sync game I came across today. Both Mocker and I had a chance to play it through once, so we're sort of cheating, but we're going to play this for you guys, and we're going to sort of play a little sound clip, and you have to guess what game it's going to be from. It's going to go from level 1 to level 3, from easy to hard, and you have to, we'll play the sound for you, and then you have 3 different choices to choose from, and then I'll tell you the answer. So we're going to start with audio clip number 1. Are you ready to go, Mocker? Okay, so, number 1. Okay, I don't even recognize this. Do you know what it is? Okay.
I know what it is.
Okay, so, the choices are Frogger, Dig Dug, or Montezuma's Revenge. One more time. I'm guessing that's Frogger.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, oh, I'm good. Lots of these I haven't played in a while. Okay, next sound. Oh, this one's simple. It doesn't sound right, though. Your choices are Mario Brothers, Space Invaders, or Pac-Man. This one's really simple. It sounds a bit more high-pitched than it should be, though.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ben, I'm right. I'm good. Okay, next one. This is either Combat, Canyon Bomber, or Frenzy. What do you think?
I think that's Combat.
You think it's Combat? Okay. Yeah, you're right. You better not be cheating, or I'll kill you.
Someone's got the food.
Oh, I know this one. This is either Gauntlet, Total Carnage, or Jinx.
Someone's got the food.
Someone's got the food. This is from Gauntlet. I know this one. Okay, next is either Donkey Kong, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, or Pac-Man. If you mess up this one, you shouldn't be listening to the show. Okay, one more time. Donkey Kong, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, or Pac-Man. That's like one of the most famous gaming noises of all time. And it's Pac-Man. For those who didn't know out there, turn off the show right now, please. Okay, this is the last one for the easy level. It's either Defender, Missile Command, or Star Wars. I'm not sure what this one is.
I'm gonna bet on Defender.
Defender, you think?
Yeah.
Okay. You have to be cheating. There's no. Yeah, it's Defender.
I love Defender.
Oh, I don't think I played that one very often. Okay, we're on medium level now, so it's getting a little tougher. Is this Congo Bongo, Joust, Missile Command, or Missile Command? What do you think?
I don't know.
I'm thinking Joust.
Okay.
Because it's not Missile Command. Oh, I'm right. I only played that game like once.
I never played it.
Next one, it's either Gorf, Robotron, or Cabbage Patch Kids Picture Show.
Ha ha ha.
There's no way that's Cabbage Patch.
Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha.
The voice sort of makes me think Robotron, but I think it's Gorf.
Gorf.
Yeah, so good! Okay, next one, it's going to be Gauntlet, Galaga, or Millipede. I remember this one. What's it from, though? What do you think it is, Mocker?
Galaga.
Galaga? Oh, man, you're right again. You're getting all the ones I'm not good. Okay, this one, I'll know it. It's either Q-Bert, Popeye, or Donkey Kong. If it's Q-Bert, I'll have to know it. Donkey Kong, I'm... I think that's Donkey Kong.
Probably.
It better not be Q-Bert, though. I'm going for Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Yes! I love it! Okay. Next one. Sinister, Berserk, or Space Spartan? I don't have any idea. I'm completely guessing this one.
Neither do I.
What do you want to guess on?
Berserk.
Oh, you got it again. You have to be checking these out.
Okay,
this is the last one for the medium one. Oh, this one's simple. It's sort of like a different version. I don't think it's for the NES. It's either Afterburner, Bad Dudes, or Duck Hunt. Bad Dudes and Duck Hunt I'm a master of, so I know it's Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt.
It has to be Duck Hunt. It's like, it doesn't sound right, though. It sounds like it's like a different noise, though. Yeah, but it's Duck Hunt. Level 3, we're going to skip. We're going to give you guys the link to it so you can check out all these cool sound things on your own and play the game on PBS's website. You can check them out in the show notes. Okay, so what else do we have planned for today? EA once again in the news. I don't even know if I want to talk about it. We'll just have to mention it.
Yeah.
So EA, Electronic Arts, being the stupid poop faces that they are, they're talking about taking over Ubisoft. Earlier they were like, no, we're not. Yeah, exactly. We need a little crowd boo in there. Maybe I should edit that in. They bought 20% of Ubisoft a couple months ago. Everyone's been expecting this, and now they're in talks about buying them out. I hope this doesn't happen, because Ubisoft makes a lot of great games, and they're independent and everything.
Yeah.
That's stupid. EA owns the world now.
They do.
So, that's all I'm going to say about that. I'm going to Forrest Gump that one. Elder Scrolls 4 has released some screenshots, and they're very pretty.
They are indeed.
They are, actually, one of them is sort of like a re-release of what they had previously released to us not too long ago. The first picture that shows in our website, it's like a deer standing in a field with trees. They basically released the exact same photo without the deer in it before.
Yeah.
So they're trying to show what the figures will look like in the game. The second one's like an ogre guy walking through a cave, and it has some pretty good shadow detail in it.
And the sword. There's
like a sword that sort of blends in with the rocks. It's pretty cool. You can see the hand even. And then the last one is this really nicely rendered shot of a like medieval town. It looks really nice. I can't wait to play the game. I heard there have been some problems, though, with the characters, that they aren't as pretty as the environments.
There is one screenshot of a character, though.
Yeah.
Of a knight, dude.
Of a knight?
Does
it look that nice?
It looks okay.
I haven't looked too much into the other screenshots, just the recent ones. StarCraft just got a patch. How old is this game?
7 years old or eight.
It's really old, and they're still, Blizzard's still pumping out new stuff for it. That's pretty awesome. This is why everyone says Blizzard is the bomb, because they support games this old, because this is probably one of the biggest games of all time. Like,
yeah.
In South Korea, you can't get enough of this thing.
I prefer the Command & Conquer series, though.
What do you mean by that?
The Red Alert games and Tiberian Dawn, wherever. You know, they're classic RTS games.
Mm-hmm.
I like them better than StarCraft.
I've never tried any of those. I think I tried StarCraft for like a week. It was because like I wasn't allowed to play it or something. I had to quit. I forget what the story is behind it. It's been such a long time.
I've been putting around 1,000 hours into Red Alert.
How many days does that make? That's pretty bad.
Yeah, I know. That was five or something. It was all I could do. Just sit around playing Red Alert.
Nintendo has released like a little blue Nintendo thing that you can get. Or what? Yeah, a blue
Nintendo DS.
Yeah, a Nintendo DS dual screen. That you can only get through Pepsi, and you can only get through Pepsi in Japan. So, it's like a limited edition, and if you live here in the States or there in Europe, it's really tough to get a hold of, I bet. And you could probably have to read katakana and all that stuff if you want to get your hands on one of these. I heard the website's like translated into four different layers of languages or something. But you can get this DS, and if you can't collect enough points for that, you can get these cool little Mario figures. If I drank pop, I would probably start drinking a lot of this Pepsi stuff. It has to be the Pepsi Twist, I think. Or at least
you could just buy a lot of blue paint.
Yeah. Some nail polish stuff. This is a pretty cool discovery. I'm not sure if this is new or if someone just happened to figure it out recently. But if you're playing EverQuest 2 and you type in /pizza... it will launch a web browser, and it will take you to pizzahut.com and have, like, a little form for you to fill out to order yourself a little pizza.
Now, that's pathetic.
I think this is a great idea for marketing in a game. It is pathetic. It is pathetic that people can't get up from their lazy butts. Now, we just have to figure out a way that they don't have to get up to answer the door.
It's awesome, but it's pathetic.
Yeah. It's a nice example of, like, integrating real life with video games or making things easier for video game people so they become even more addicted.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, there was a little report you guys can read up on the site about how online gaming is supposedly addicting and how they even hire psychologists at some video game firms to make design games so that they are even more addicting than they really should be. So the people won't put them down.
They are addicting.
Yeah, they are addicting, and I don't think it's a bad thing as long as you know how to control yourself.
Yeah.
And even if you take the time to do something else, like listen to a radio show, that's enough time away to distract you just enough so you can get back to the real life every once in a while.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy XII has been delayed. That's all I'm going to say about that. But starting April 1st, Square Enix is going to start releasing a new game every month. So I like Square Enix. They put out some good stuff.
They put out some good stuff, yeah.
And they did a lot of good PlayStation games. I love their RPGs for the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Xbox has announced that the Xbox 2, also known as the Xbox 360, I don't know why they would ever call it the Xbox 360, because that's a full turnaround. Why would they want to do that? They're going to sport wireless controllers as the standard. So it's going to be precisely somewhat around, I don't know, the same size as the S controllers for the Xbox right now. And I don't think they're going to change the design very much from the original Xbox controller, which I think is a mistake. You should redo the controllers.
I actually like it the best of all the consoles.
It is the best, but it's not the type they send standard with the Xbox. Like, if you get versions of it, I have a version and it fits me perfectly. I have two of the exact same controller because, like, I worship it. And I can't play first-person shooters without this controller. I'm trying to look at what it's called. It's the GameStar, I think. But I don't like the ones that they, like, shipped standard with the consoles because they were really gay. But the S ones are a little better. They're a little smaller.
Yeah, I like S ones.
I'm still curious what Nintendo is going to decide to do with this entire revolution idea. I keep hearing the word revolution in everyday circumstances, and for some reason, like, Nintendo pops in my head. Because someone will be talking about how, like, I've created a bubblegum revolution where the bubbles make a million pops, I don't know, something like that, and I'll be like, oh my god, Nintendo's going to do that. I don't know. For some reason, all I can think of now is, like, what's Nintendo going to do next? Because there's a lot of pressure on them, especially with Xbox announcing all these little, like, hey, we're going to have wireless controllers as standard, or hey, we're going to have 5 gigahertz processing power for the PlayStation, or whatever. And Nintendo really has been sitting in the corner of the room, like, just waiting. It looks like the guy sitting in the corner of, like, a bar, in, like, the dark corner, smoking a cigarette, and all you see is, like, the little red tip. He's just waiting to make his move. And you know he's going to, like, pop out, and he's going to do something really amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, what else is there? There's, yeah, they released some, like, diagrams and specifications for the next cell processor for the Sony PS3. I think it's going to be an NVIDIA-based one, something like that. ATM, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But this thing's going to get, it's going to be 8-plus processing cores that work in parallel, which means it's going to be freaking amazing. And I think this is going to be the future of processors, because currently the Intels, they aren't going to be able to pull anything more than 4 gigahertz. And they said, we're not even going to try to do it. Because they had plans to create faster processors, and they completely abandoned the idea, because they're like, it's not worth it, because the heat is getting way too hot. So they created other things to sort of trick the thing, like hyper-threading, so it acts sort of like two processors. And that's sort of the same idea that they're having with these new ones. It's instead of just having two for hyper-threading, they're going to have, like, 8. And I think they're going to get something like, they're going to start releasing them running around, like, 4.2 gigahertz as the, like, comparison to the current Intel chips.
Just to bring up something, I saw a video where two guys overclocked an Intel Pentium 4 or 3.8 to 5.0 gigahertz.
That'd be going so freaking fast. And you'd have to be running so much cooling stuff in that thing.
They said they were using liquid nitrogen or something.
Oh my god. For people out there who haven't, like, spent their days researching chips, the thing that slows us down about making faster chips is one of the big reasons. It's the entire heat issue, and that's why you see this water cooling idea where people will actually pump water into their computer to slow it down. So it, like, presses water against the surface, sort of. I don't know how to exactly explain the process. And so the reason Pentium hasn't come out with this is because they don't want catching your computer on fire, basically, because chips are hot enough as it is. So it's pretty amazing anyone would be able to come anywhere near close to 5 gigahertz.
Yeah. I'll see if I can find a link to that.
Yeah, we'll stick that in the show notes if we can find it. What else is there? I already talked about the Halo Mods forum, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll just talk about my week in gaming. I decided to take a little break from Halo 2 last night, because mostly because the forums were down for Halo Mods, and I like playing around with the mods more than I do just playing it for fun. So I picked up Amp 2. It's a snowboarding game for those of you who are not familiar with the series. I own the first one, and I was not very impressed with it. It was really not anything like what I wanted out of a snowboarding game. I remember for the Nintendo 64, they had 1080. Have you ever played that one?
Yeah, it was cool.
It was probably my favorite snowboarding game of the day, or skiing or anything. I remember playing Nagano Winter Olympics, too. I don't know why my friend owned that. Oh, such weird memories I have from that, the sport where you have to brush off in front of the giant puck thing. What's that called?
Curling.
Yeah, curling. Like, that was one of the sports. That's such a pathetic game. Nagano 98, I think.
Actually, us Norwegians are pretty good at that. We won the Olympic gold once.
Once?
Yeah, in 2000 or whatever. Pretty recent, actually.
I thought the Canadians were like the creme de la creme.
Yeah, they are pretty good.
I
thought I follow it.
I think all the Canadians do is spend their life on ice. But anyways, Amp 2, I had a chance to play around with it. It was a lot better than the first one. The thing I liked the most about it was the sound effects that they used, not in the game really, but like when you had menu options and things like that, it had a really nice sound quality. When you're playing, the music in the background was pretty good. It didn't seem fitting. Some of the songs sounded like borderline country almost. It was really awkward. It's like country punk or something. But it was a huge improvement from the first one, and it played a lot like 1080, which I liked. I don't know how to explain it. It felt a lot more comfortable to be playing it, and the controllers happened to be, the controls were a lot better, and it felt like it fit, and I really didn't have any complaints about the game. I really haven't gotten too much into it, though, so that's all I'm going to say. So check it out. It's worth a rental, at least, from what I've seen so far. What have you been up to with your World of Warcraft?
I've just been playing my hunter and running around killing mobs, really.
Any good stories yet?
Not really, yeah. There was this one guy on the forums. When the servers were down the second day, he was thinking, he was going to give away his account. And the reason was just so good, because he said, "I'm a power gamer. And when I can play to my full potential, I get pissed."
So, I take it you're becoming slowly addicted to World of Warcraft.
Not addicted. It's pretty fun, but...
Not that addicted. Not yet.
No. Not yet, anyway.
Your vacation just started there, right?
Yeah, it started today.
Oh, just wait. You'll be addicted soon. Tell me about this Project Wish thing that you've been working on.
Yeah, it's sort of a... It's not a resurrection project for... it's not... resurrection project for Wish was, MMORPG that got cancelled in December anyway, and it was in the second beta, and we were all playing happily and having a lot of fun. I was totally addicted to that, and suddenly it got cancelled and all the fans were pissed off, so we decided to make our own MMORPG, And, well, that's how Project Wish was born. So it's not a remake, but it's an MMORPG that follows the same sort of guidelines that Wish had, which was that every player can make a difference in the world, every player can, you know, every player matters.
Have you, did they take some of the files from, like, the original one and just convert them over, or did they...
No, we asked the company that made Wish, and they said, you know, no, just get the fuck off. So it's a complete remake, or, yeah, completely new game, but with the same guidelines as Wish was developed with. And right now we're in a very interesting phase because we're just starting up. Today, actually, we inspected the engine. Yeah. For all... Yeah. So pretty much we're ready to get started soon. I'm on the story team, by the way.
And how's the team going to work, really? Are you going to, like, get together and just come up with, like, the main plot of what's going on in the world and the environment?
Well, we're pretty well organized, actually. We have sort of, like, 5 separate teams, each having their own dedicated objective, like, you know, doing all the server-related things, like making the client, shaping the world, etc., right? And all these teams have a team lead, and then they get together and discuss things and tell us what to do. So,
how many people do you think are involved in this project at this point?
40 or something.
Oh.
So it's pretty...
Yeah, so it's a good start.
Yeah. And we already have a community, so...
Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit about Guild Wars, which you've had a little experience about. Tell me what you thought about Guild Wars first.
Well, I loved it during the first beta week, and I played it a total of 20 hours in one weekend, I guess. And it was fun. It was like a stripped down MMORPG.
How would you describe the style of it? Because I'm not sure how I would.
Sort of. No, I'm not sure.
I feel like it's. It's really weird how to describe it. Cause it's not like the average MMORPG. It has a lot of instances.
Diablo 2 MMORPG.
Yeah, it's a lot like Diablo 2 meets Final Fantasy with a dash of World of Warcraft. Very little World of Warcraft.
It's actually made by the people who started developing World of Warcraft.
Really? Because they...
By the head designer.
Lots of the graphics somehow remind me of World of Warcraft. I don't know what it is. I think it's the way that the textures sort of shine.
It was made by the developer of... Or the lead designer of Warcraft 3. With the hairs and all of that. And the designer of World of Warcraft. But they wanted something more in between the two.
I think it's pretty cool the way it plays out. And there's even some elements that you'll see sort of like the team play elements of, let's say, Unreal. Or some type of first-person shooter like that where you have to go attack the other base and kill the leader. And you have to use flags for morale purposes. And it's really interesting to play because it's nothing like I've ever seen before. And the graphics are amazing. This is probably the best graphics I've seen in an MMORPG.
Yeah, but it does use instances mostly, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's all these instances, and it's really weird because you're always loading up levels. It doesn't like to download the levels ahead of time. So when you want to step into a new area, it has to go ahead and download everything. It's no problem for me because I'm on a T3 line or something like that, something ridiculously fast.
Actually, it downloads some files first, but every time you go into the level or map, it downloads a few more. Like, the first time you have to download around 400 files, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, you just have to download 30. So it goes a lot faster after a while.
Yeah, it's a good method in the long run, but at first, when you first pick up the game, it's sort of annoying, because you have a lot of files to be downloading.
I remember them during the first weekend, everyone was just downloading after a while. Mm-hmm. So I think the connection or the servers were so stressed that it took like 10 minutes for people who were on fast connections even.
That's the other interesting thing you have to note, is that they run the betas only during the weekends from Friday to Sunday, which I think is an excellent idea, because from many different points, one is that most beta testers are probably students out there, and it's a good idea not to be allowing people to play these betas during the weekdays when they should be focusing on school.
Yeah.
Another great idea about it is that they're really testing the server amounts of stress by inviting quite a few people to do it on only a few days. You get a huge amount of stress on those few days, and then you have these days to fix the server problems. So you have off days to fix what you found out went wrong on the weekend.
I think the first weekend was more of a stress test than the others, because it was open for everyone.
It really was.
Yeah, so everyone just hit it really, really fast. The others have been a lot smaller.
Yeah, it would be hell on their servers if it was like that. I didn't realize they were open like that.
I think the first day there were 200,000 people logged on.
I don't know if I mentioned this, if we had a chance to last time, but World of Warcraft had some really bad server errors. Do you want to talk about this? Were those during this week?
There were some problems on Friday and Saturday, and some on Sunday too. And there's still some queues on the big servers, but I don't play on them. I play on a medium pop server, so I have no problems really. Mm-hmm. Never had.
I remember when I ran it in beta for a week, I really didn't have many problems. I had maybe one time that it wouldn't let me log on, and I don't think it's that big of a deal. Even though you're paying for the game, though, if I were paying for it, if I weren't in beta, I would be pissed off.
No, it's because they choose a big hypop server. There were 90-minute queues on some servers, and on some others there were none. Mm-hmm. No queues at all. They just chose the hypop ones because they wanted to be one of the most players, of course.
I'm trying to figure out a way for us to be able to get error on the show at the same time. And I think what we're going to have to do, once I get all the microphone stuff hooked up, is I'll just purchase some credits through Skype, and we'll have to do it that way.
Or we could use TeamSpeak, though.
Yeah, does that allow dialing out?
Well, it allows having... Well, you have, for example, the three of us could be in one room, and we could all talk at the same time, and you would record it all. Because it would come out of the same... same head. And the same microphone.
Wouldn't Skype be able to do that, though?
Can you have multiple people on the line, though?
Yeah, you can do conference calls, but you can't do it, but, like, Air doesn't have a good enough connection to do it through his computer, so we'll have to call out to his phone line. So, it'll probably cost us, I think, 3 cents a minute, something really tiny like that. I might start asking for donations even, if you want Air on the on the phone or not. We might even have a little poll. I could probably put up for a couple episodes. It really isn't that big of a deal, though. So, it's only a couple bucks an episode. I would appreciate it, though, if we just got a couple donations, but I really don't feel like setting up a little donation area for the site. Cause I like the idea of doing everything non-profit and not having any advertisement.
Mm.
Sort of lessens you, I think, when you start asking for hand-me-outs.
Yeah.
But we'll figure out some way. I was even thinking about, like, holding up the phone to one of the microphones or something, and having him, like, turning on the speakers. I don't know, some really old school way of hooking up a phone to a speaker system.
Yeah.
So I think that's it for this week. So take care for now, and have fun with your World of Warcraft.
I will.
And that's it for Episode 6 of Gamers Radio. If you enjoyed us, please vote for us on Podcast Alley. You can do so by signing up through the form provided by Yankadank at yankadank.com. If you want to contact us, you can contact Mocker at mocker@yankadank.com. You can contact me, Yankadank, at gamersradio@yankadank.com. Thanks, and I'll see you again, same time, same place, next week.
I'm making radio shows for fun. If everybody does it, everybody I know, but shut up!